Zechariah, and please find this evening chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. I invite everyone here tonight to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word and encourage those watching in from home to join us in standing as well. Zechariah chapter 2. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, "Where are you going?" And he said to me, "To measure Jerusalem, to see how wide it is and how long it is." And behold, the angel who was speaking with me was going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him and said to him, "Run, speak to that young man, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle within it. For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Ho there, flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord, for I have dispersed you as the four winds of the heavens, declares the Lord. Ho, Zion, escape you who are living with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will wave my hand over them so that they will be plunder for their slaves. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing for joy and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day and will become my people. Then I will dwell in your midst, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. The Lord will possess Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. Heavenly Father, as we seek to understand this chapter, the second chapter of Zechariah this evening, do help us by your Holy Spirit, and allow us again tonight to see your great love and care for your people, especially your people Israel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in chapter 2, Zechariah's third vision of that one night, we can clearly see how vision number one, vision number two, both of those in chapter one, and vision number three are all interrelated. They all concern the care and protection of Israel and God's love for Israel. So in chapter 2, the first four verses, we see the details of the vision that Zechariah saw. Chapter 2, verse 1, what did Zechariah see in this third vision of the night? What he saw was a man with a measuring line in his hand. Now, we'll point out as we move through this, none of that is brand new information. Zechariah had been given the information about the man in vision one, and he'd been given the information about the measuring line in vision one. So we're seeing more detail now of what Zechariah saw in his first two visions. He saw a man with a measuring line in his hand. So, I don't know if any of you have ever had a dream or a vision about a man with a measuring line in his hand. But Zechariah did, and that's what he saw. So, Zechariah asked the man a question. You see it at the beginning of verse 2. The question was, where are you going? Where are you going? Zechariah did not ask the man, who are you? Why didn't Zechariah ask the man, who are you? Zechariah already knew who he was. He is the same man who was introduced in the first vision as the man riding on a red horse and was walking among the myrtle trees that represented Israel in that vision. And that man, chapter 1 tells us, is the angel of the Lord. He is Jesus, the Messiah. So Zechariah doesn't ask, who is that man? He asks, where are you going? And the man answered in verse 2, to measure Jerusalem to see how wide it is and how long it is. In chapter 1, verse 16, Zechariah had seen that in his first vision. A measuring line will be stretched over Jerusalem. Well, now he sees it in the third vision. To measure Jerusalem, to see how wide it is and how long it is. What is at issue in this third vision? It's Jerusalem. Jerusalem is important to the Lord. The Lord watching, looking out, measuring Jerusalem. to assess how Jerusalem is doing. The Lord himself, in this case, Messiah, Jesus, the second person of the triune God, is measuring Jerusalem. He watches, he cares for Jerusalem intensely, personally. That is what the vision is about. Zechariah also saw his interpreting angel, verse 3, the angel who was speaking with me was going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him. So Zechariah's interpreting angel, whom we met in chapter 1, verse 9, verse 13, verse 14, and verse 19, and we meet him here again in chapter 2, verse 3, Zechariah's interpreting angel tells another angel who came out to him, and there are debates about this other angel. Many would say this other angel is God the Father, and that it would be God the Father speaking to the interpreting angel, telling the interpreting angel to go tell this to Zechariah. That could be. It is, I think, more likely that this is not God the Father, but that it is another messenger angel, and the interpreting angel is speaking to the messenger angel, telling the messenger angel to go speak to Zechariah and give Zechariah this message. So you see in the end of verse 3, another angel came out to meet him, and in verse 4, said to him, run, speak to that young man. That young man is Zechariah. And the phrase young man implies that Zechariah, at the time of this vision, Zechariah was a teenager. So it is a teenage Jewish boy who is having these visions. So go speak to that young man and tell him some things. These are angels speaking to one another, determining to give a message to Zechariah. So this is very clearly angel talk. This is the communication of an angel to an angel to communicate something to Zechariah. It's angel talk. And that we have this recorded for us in our Bible, though it's in visionary form, recorded in Hebrew, that certainly gives an indication that angels can speak Hebrew. Doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Say, well, what are the tongues of angels? 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak with the tongues of angels, those are not unknown tongues. One of those tongues of angels is Hebrew. We know what it is. So Here we see the angel speaking to Zechariah. Now there are 10 joyful messages in these angel communications. And these 10 joyful messages all have to do with Judah, Jerusalem. They all pertain to Israel. So, joyful message number 1 in the rest of verse 4. Jerusalem will be abundantly inhabited. Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle within it. If they were wondering about the future of Jerusalem, returning from the Babylonian captivity, what will be the future of Jerusalem? Oh, look, it's in such terrible condition. All run down, destroyed. What will be the future of Jerusalem? Here is the message of the Lord through an angel to Zechariah. Jerusalem will be inhabited. It will be abundantly inhabited, so much so that walls will not even be able to contain all of the people and cattle. Now, hold on to that thought because it's important. But Jerusalem will be abundantly inhabited. Well, verse 5. If Jerusalem in verse 4 is without walls, verse 5, I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. In the ancient Near East, a city wasn't even considered to be a city if it did not have a wall. I mean, the wall was the important part. It was at the city gate, in the wall of the city, where all of the business and judgment was done for the city. So, what do you mean Jerusalem will be a city without walls? Ah, but there will be a wall. The wall will be Yahweh himself. The Lord himself will be the protection of Jerusalem. He will protect the city and the people. Now, verse 5, it's interesting what Zechariah sees and hears in this vision. Ezekiel had seen God's glory in the temple. Then the temple was destroyed, the glory departed, that glory was no more. Zechariah here is not seeing the glory of God in a rebuilt temple. Doesn't say temple, does it? He's seeing the glory of God in the city of Jerusalem. I will be the glory in her midst, the midst of the city. And by the time we get to the end of the book, chapter 14, Zechariah will see the glory of God in the entire promised land. So this is something that will be fulfilled in what we would call the millennial kingdom. The glory of the Lord in Jerusalem. So the Lord himself will protect the city and people. So these first two messages, Jerusalem will be abundantly inhabited and Yahweh himself will protect the city. Is Jerusalem going to have a glorious future? The answer is yes. That's what this vision is about. Jerusalem will have a glorious future, and it hasn't had it yet. But it will. Joyful message number 3. In verses 6 and 7, all exiled Jews will flee from the enemies and come home to Jerusalem, the land of the north. I've dispersed you as the four winds. Verse 7, escape, you who are living with the daughter of Babylon. 50,000 Jews had returned from Babylonian captivity. Zechariah and his grandfather were among those. 50,000 returned. There were still a lot more Jews still living in Babylon that had not yet returned from the Babylonian captivity. You can read Ezra and Nehemiah to learn about those. But what is Zechariah hearing here? A message from the Lord that all of those who still have not returned from captivity, it's time to get back to Jerusalem. Get up and get moving. Flee, he says in verse 6. Escape, he says in verse 7. It is time for the people of the Lord to return to the land. So that is the third joyful message. Come home. The fourth joyful message in verse 8. Jesus, the Messiah, will have glory by personally judging and destroying those nations who plundered Israel, the apple of his eye. And that's what he says in verse 8. The Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts says, he has sent me, the man, the Messiah, he has sent me against the nations which plunder Israel. And then he makes a very strong statement. He who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Don't mess with Israel. That's the joyful message. Don't mess with Israel. You mess with Israel, you poke God in the eyeball. Don't mess with Israel. And the Messiah is coming. If you mess with Israel when Messiah returns, what will happen? Messiah will mess with you. You'll be destroyed. So, this will bring, in verse 8, glory to the Messiah. He's been sent after glory. Jesus will be glorified. He will be magnified. He will be adored and worshiped because he wipes out the enemies of Israel. Now, that really is quite a message for our world tonight, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Jesus is coming back to defend Israel, but do you know what the world thinks? The world thinks we'll get him. We'll take care of that problem. That is why they will be gathered in Armageddon to wage war against Jesus when he comes again, in their minds, as some kind of dangerous cosmic UFO of some kind, coming to destroy them. And they really believe, they're deceived by the devil, of course, but they really believe that they are going to win. They believe that they are going to defeat Jesus at his second coming. But they're wrong, aren't they? And they will be destroyed. And people think about this and they go, oh, how terrible that all of these people will be destroyed. How wrong it is for Jesus to judge and destroy all of these people. But you know how it's going to be? Jesus will be glorified for destroying these people. He will be magnified for it. The enemies of the people of God will be wiped out by Jesus. So, well, I don't like that message. Well, then you better get saved tonight. Because if you don't, you could end up being one of these. So, Jesus will have glory for judging and destroying those nations who have plundered Israel. And Israel is the apple of the Lord's eye. Joyful message number 5. Jesus Christ will cause the opposing nations to become plunder for the Jews. This is in verse 9. I will wave my hand over them. See, all Jesus has to do is what? Go like this. Just wave his hand and the judgment goes out. It goes forth over these nations. I'll wave my hand over them so that they will be plunder for their slaves. Now, what's that about? The Jewish people had been slaves of the Babylonians, of the Medo-Persians, of the Egyptians. But the Jewish people set free will what? They will take those who had enslaved them as plunder for themselves. Those who were taking Jewish people as slaves will become slaves to the Jewish people. That is part of their judgment. So it is Messiah, Jesus, who will cause that to happen. Joyful message number 6. You see it in verse 10. Israel can sing for joy, knowing that the Lord is coming to dwell in their midst. Sing for joy and be glad, O daughter of Zion. I'm coming and I will dwell in your midst. Now, again, this will ultimately be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom, the Lord dwelling in their midst in Jerusalem, and beyond, even to the new Jerusalem in the new heavens and new earth, where the Lord himself will dwell with his people and be their God. So this is a great promise of joy and is a reason for Israel to sing. Because of this promise, the Lord is coming to dwell in their midst. And we've taken a journey through the Psalms. Just recall a number of songs, musical pieces that are written concerning the time when the Lord will dwell in Jerusalem, because he will be there. It's future, eternal future. Joyful message number 7. The beginning of verse 11. Many nations, not all, but many, it says, will join themselves to Yahweh and will become his people in the future day of the Lord. Not just Israel, but many other nations that will become the people of God in that day. And that day is yet future to us. It is the day of the Lord. That has not begun yet. Joyful message number 8. When this does happen in the day of the Lord, Israel will know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah sent from Yahweh. You see that at the end of verse 11. I will dwell in your midst, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. I will dwell in your midst. You will know that Yahweh Sabaoth has sent me, Messiah, to you. You will know it because I am dwelling with you in Jerusalem. Now, if you meditate on that, that's a spectacular statement. Do Jewish people in general tonight know that Jesus is their Messiah? Now, we praise the Lord for those who do, don't we? But in general, they do not. But do you know by the end of the tribulation period at the second coming of Jesus and into the millennial kingdom, Jewish people will know that Jesus is their Messiah? They will either know that or they will be dead. Yeah. So it's a great statement of joy. Joyful statement number 9. This is in verse 12. Yahweh will possess Judah. The Lord will possess Judah as his portion. And there's a statement in verse 12 that this is the only time you see this statement in the whole Bible. The statement is the Holy Land. You know, the tourist people use that statement a lot, and we use it. Say, well, I'm taking a trip to the Holy Land. Well, Zechariah 2:12 is where that phrase, the Holy Land, comes from. Oh yeah, it is. It isn't anywhere else in the Bible. The Holy Land. Why is it holy? It is holy because it belongs to the Lord and it belongs to the Lord's people. It is not the Holy Land because a bunch of religious stuff happened there. It is the Holy Land because it is holy, set apart for God. It's His. It belongs to Him. The Lord will possess Judah as His portion. Judah belongs to the Lord, and the Lord will again choose Jerusalem. The Lord had written His name there. Jerusalem belonged to the Lord, and He will choose Jerusalem again as His city. So note the word again there in verse 12. You know, just for interest, I looked at some polls and things this week of what various groups of people considered the top 10 cities in the world today. How many of you think that any of the groups that I looked at in their polls had Jerusalem in their top 10 list? No one. No one. But do you know what? God doesn't have a top 10 list of cities. God has a top 1 list, and it's Jerusalem. Well, what does God think of New York. By the way, New York was at the top of most people's top 10 lists. What does God think of New York? Well, see how much is left of the population of New York after the coronavirus is done. You know, we'll have a conversation about that. New York will be judged. Paris, London, Berlin, Tokyo, be judged. They're not on the Lord's list. The Lord has one city on his list. His city is Jerusalem. Yeah. That's the Holy Land. Verse 12. And joyful message number 10. In verse 13, the Lord's coming is a message from himself to all mankind. Be silent, all flesh, all mankind, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. The second coming of Jesus is a message to the entire world. It is. It's a message of joy for God's people, and it's a message of judgment and doom for those who are not. The rapture of the church, by the way, is not a message to the entire world. It's a message to the church, to believers. But the second coming of Jesus, Jesus coming in judgment, that's a message to everyone on the planet. He's aroused. He is coming. So you put those statements together, that is quite a statement about the future joy and the future hopes of Jerusalem, Judah, Israel. Israel does have a glorious, spectacular future. With Jesus, the Messiah, as King. That is the future. So let's make some closing applications from this tonight and trust that you'll hold on to it. Application number one, the Lord loves his people and watches over them even when they've disobeyed him. You know, the Lord was measuring Jerusalem even when Jerusalem was disobeying. The Lord loves his people and he doesn't change his mind because you disobey him. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Yeah. Application number two. The Lord invites his erring people to return and enjoy his blessing. Jewish people, and by the way, we saw the phrase the Holy Land there in our text, but you do realize when you visit there and you look around at the way Jewish people are living in the land, it maybe ought to be called the unholy land. God's people are wandering and erring in serious ways, but nonetheless the Lord invites them to return. And there still is the invitation of the Lord to return to the promised land. And there's the invitation of the Lord for believers of the church age who wander. There's the Lord's invitation for them to return as well. It's not that they've lost their salvation. The Lord still loves them and invites them, but they're not living properly, are they? So the Lord invites them. Application number 3, the Lord will severely punish those who mistreat and abuse his people. That is true of Israel. We saw that. That's also true of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you destroy the church, the Lord will destroy you. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Some people, it just looks like they have a hobby. It's their extramural sports hobby to go around dividing and splitting churches. Oh my. The Lord says, I will destroy you. That is an awful thing. It's not good to be the enemy of Israel. It's not good to be the enemy of the Lord's church either. Application number 4, the Lord will live among his people in the millennial kingdom in the New Jerusalem. You know, the amazing thing about the New Jerusalem, and you've heard me say this before, but you do know you will not be spending eternity in heaven. You know that, right? You will be spending 7 years or more, if you're there before the rapture, in heaven. But you will be spending eternity in the new earth, in the new Jerusalem, the city foursquare with, you know, that has the golden streets and the gates of pearl and all that. That's not heaven. Do you know that? That's not heaven. That's the New Jerusalem. And that's where you'll spend eternity. But you want to know the amazing thing? In the very center of the New Jerusalem, God lives. God lives there. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No need for sun, no need for moon, no need for any other source of light because you'll have God. Yeah. He will dwell among his people. The greatest thing about eternity is not the nature of the place. The greatest thing about eternity is the person whose place it is. It is God's. And you will dwell with Him forever. That's an amazing thought. Application number 5, the Lord keeps Israel as the apple of His eye. Jerusalem, God will again choose Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be the capital. Oh, you know what? There were some people upset about us moving our embassy to Jerusalem and declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel. You know what? You haven't seen anything yet. Jerusalem will be the capital of the planet, not just of Israel. Jerusalem, Ezekiel 5:5, is the center of the earth. Jerusalem is the capital of this planet, and it will take the second coming of Jesus for the world to see that. But it will happen, and it will be so forever, even in the new heavens, new earth. Jerusalem will be the capital of the entire universe. Yeah. God will dwell there. So, Jerusalem has a wonderful future, and what Zechariah saw in this vision teaches him and teaches us that great truth. Let's stand together for a closing word of prayer. Lord, tonight we do pray. Lord, as your people, we pray, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. We long for your coming. We look to that future day. We long for that day when you will be in the midst of us. Lord, what an amazing thought. But Lord, we thank you too that you have a plan yet for Israel. Israel, Jerusalem will be restored, and Lord, you love her. She is the one whom you choose. And so, Lord, we go forth tonight praying for the peace of Jerusalem, knowing that you have promised to prosper those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so, Lord, we pray that you will prosper your church tonight as well as we pray for Jerusalem. Thank you that Zechariah, a young man, received this vision and recorded it for us, that we might worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.